You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty.
Something happened this summer in the Ann Arbor Park where I like to walk at night. The people who walked and talked together were, by and large, supplanted by large groups of people basically sitting around staring at their smartphones, or maybe walking slowly staring at their smartphones. Yes, Pokemon Go players flock to this particular park. And then I read Alexander Weinstein's new book of short stories, Children of the New World, telling stories of dangerously immersive virtual reality games, ordering up robots to round out your family, reading email on your eyes, living in memories you download, of being controlled by technology and social media, not the other way around. Alexander Weinstein is an associate professor of English at Siena Heights University. He directs the Martha's Vineyard Institute of Creative Writing, leads fiction workshops across the country and Canada, and among his writing awards, a Sustainable Arts Foundation Award, the Lamar York, Gail Crump, and New Millennium Prizes. Children of the New World is his first short story collection. Alexander Weinstein, welcome.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Now, clearly, you've been working on these stories for, what, years now?
Yeah, 10 years.
Wow.
This is a 10-year collection.
And Pokemon Go hit big over this summer, but am I off base in that sense of discomfort I cannot get over at seeing so many people in the middle of this beautiful park who do not lift their eyes from the phone screen?
Yeah. Pokemon Go, I'm working somewhere in my subconscious right now with the Pokemon Go story because it's so absurd and such a great metaphor for this strange place we find ourselves in, right? I mean, you have people finding dead bodies through Pokemon Go. You've got grown men walking off cliffs and then everybody staring down at their phones.
And flocking together. Like that.
Yeah.
When it first started happening, what is happening here?
Yeah. And I see it as a metaphor. I mean, I've been thinking a lot about the spiritual metaphor of Pokemon Go, right? That we're all searching for these lost creatures who are ultimately ourselves, right? And seeking it through the phones and everybody looking down. It really sort of captures the technological craziness that we're in.
And certainly that you spell out in these stories that are collected in Children of the New World. And just to give everyone a sense of kind of what these stories are about, I'm going to give you the title of a story and you can kind of give us the kernel of what it is, like the elevator pitch, if you will.
Right.
The Cartographers.
So that's a corporation that manufactures memories. Quimbley, Barrett and Woods out of New York, they're making memories for people that want better parents, better childhoods. They just want a vacation that's cheaper to go on so they can have these memories implanted.
And you just download those memories and there they are.
Yeah.
Children of the New World.
That's a couple who has gone past the point of having children. And so they're able to have children through this new virtual technology where their avatars can get pregnant. And they didn't realize this when they signed on. And they end up with two virtual children that they love very much.
And then things ensue. We'll just say that. Migration. That was so touching.
Yeah. Similarly, another virtual world where everyone's living online and nobody goes outside anymore. Everybody just works online. They get their food shipped to them. And the crux of it is a teenage boy who wants to go bicycling.
And he goes outside.
Yeah.
Now, I'm going to give you a baby boomer moment, everybody listening and you. These stories remind me of the kinds of challenging stories that I remember watching on those 60s-era TV shows, The Twilight Zone and The Outer Limits. Rod Serling would do The Twilight Zone. The things that are grounded in our reality and kind of show us where we could go wrong. So maybe not so much satire, but a warning. Is that a fair way to look at these stories?
They're definitely warnings, right? And hopefully there's a lot of humor in it and compassion, too. But it definitely came out of my fear for where we're heading.
Yeah.
Right? We're all embracing technology with wide open arms and getting more and more trapped in our phones. I mean, I stop at a red light, I look over, and there are people checking their phones constantly.
Absolutely.
At bus stops, you have people launching birds at pigs, right? And I mean, these are grown people that are standing there playing these games.
Or go into a restaurant and watch a table of people.
Completely. Whole families sitting through the whole meal, just checking their iPhones, you know, sending updates, doing new posts on their Facebook feeds. It's mildly depressing, right?
And you're a teacher, so you're seeing students.
Absolutely. That's where some of this came from. I mean, my students were saying, recently they've been saying they prefer texting to talking to people.
We say this to our 22-year-old daughter all the time. Why don't you phone them? Call them. But they're all texting away.
Yeah, people say they're afraid. I was actually asking the students about, you know, so how do you date? And would you call somebody for a date? And they said, no, absolutely not. You'd never talk to them. And I said, why not? And they said, well, it's too frightening. Right? And so there's this connection for the new millennials generation and the one that's coming after them where you see babies in cribs being given
an iPad or something
to play with, to entertain them. So we're there. We're definitely in the sci-fi future already.
Would you read us an excerpt, if you will, from Children of the New World? And this is the beginning of the story that you title Openness. And I think it'll give everybody a good sense of the not-too-distant science sci-fi future that you envision.
Before I decided to finally give up on New York, I subbed classes at a junior high in Brooklyn. A sixth-grade math teacher, suffering from downloading anxiety, was out for the year. And jobs being what they were, I took any opportunity I could. Subbing math was hardly my dream job. I had a degree in visual art for which I'd be in debt for the rest of my life. All I had to show for it was my senior collection, a series of paintings of abandoned playgrounds stored in a U-Pack shed in Ohio. There was a time when I'd imagined I'd become famous, give guest lectures at colleges, have retrospectives at MoMA. Instead, I found myself standing in front of a class of apathetic tweens trying to teach them how to do long division without accessing their browsers. I handed out pen and paper so that for once in their lives, they'd have a tactile experience, and watched as they texted, their eyes glazed from blinking off message after message. They spent most of the class killing vampires and orcs inside their heads and humoring me by lazily filling out my photocopies. The city overwhelmed me. Every day I'd walk by hundreds of strangers, compete for space in crowded coffee shops, and stand shoulder to shoulder on packed subway cars. I'd scan profiles, learning that the woman waiting for the N enjoyed thrash hop, and the barista at my local coffee shop loved salted caramel. I'd had a couple fleeting relationships, but mostly I'd spend weekends going to bars and sleeping with people who knew little more than my username. It all made me want to turn off my layers, go back to the old days, and stay disconnected. But you do that and you become another old guy, buried in an e-reader, complaining about how no one sends emails anymore. So I stayed open, shared the most superficial info of my outer layer with the world, and filtered through everyone I passed, hoping to find some connection. Here was City Cat 5, Jersey Girl 13, M3 Love. And then one morning there was Katie, sitting across from me on the N. She was Lake Girl 03, and her hair fell from under her knit cap. The only other info I could access was her hometown and that she was single. "Hi," I winked. And when I realized she had her tunes on, I sent off an invite. She raised her eyes. "Hi," she winked back. "Are you from Maine? I'm planning a trip there this summer. Any suggestions?" She leaned forward and warmth spread across my chest from being allowed into her second layer. "I'm Katie," she winked. "You should visit Bar Harbor. I grew up there." She gave me access to an image of a lake house with tall silvery pines rising high above the shingled roof. "Wish I could help more, but this is my stop." As she stood waiting for the doors to open, I winked a last message. "Can I invite you for a drink?" The train hissed, the doors opened, and she looked back at me and smiled before disappearing into the mass of early morning commuters. It was as the train sped toward work that her contact info appeared in my mind, along with a photo of her swimming in a lake at dusk.
That's Alexander Weinstein reading from his book of short stories, Children of the New World and Openness. So it's not hard to draw the line from where we are now to where this character is.
It's close.
It is close. Are you challenging, Alexander, people who are consumed by technology to stop, to put the brakes on, or what exactly?
Certainly to put the brakes on, just to take a pause for a moment, because we're hurtling towards this technological future and just saying, hold on a second, what are we losing? What are we trading off socially? What free time, for example? Do we want our free time back?
Technology was supposed to give us more free time.
Right. And instead we find ourselves updating online dating profiles, liking posts.
Checking Instagram to see who liked your latest picture.
Right. All these sort of sad outreaches for, you know, attention, right? Please love me, we seem to be saying. And then, of course, capturing Pokemon Go and God knows what else. Mm-hmm. And so we're doing that all the time. I mean, even myself, I find that I'm checking my phone 10 times a day, 20, 30?
Easily.
And so starting to realize, I think we all are seeing this. There's a kind of digital fatigue where people will take these Facebook breaks, right? They announce, I'm off for a week, right? And then they have this great, like, I'm back, you know, moment. And I think that's the start of us saying, you know what, I'd like to pull back a little bit. This is too much. What happened? And there's all sorts of course, natural effects of this, right? I mean, the open pit mines where all of the cell phone metals come from. And there's a big environmental cost, Apple suicide nets. You know, this is other stuff that we don't see, but that's equally important to start questioning. And of course, social media and technology and internet, all of this is great in many ways, right? For social protest, for getting information out.
Mm-hmm. Finding old friends, connecting.
Fantastic, yeah. Right? So somehow there's a balance needed. We're definitely out of balance, I would say, at this point, and that we're moving quicker and quicker. Now we have virtual reality coming. Google Glass sort of came and tried and went because we said no, but I think virtual reality, we seem to be excited and embracing.
It makes me wonder if we're going to see this generational divide where folks of a certain age that remember before we had no smartphones will feel one way. But I mean, we kind of see this in your stories and folks that, as you say, you see your students who don't want to even pick up hit call and talk to somebody.
Yeah, I think so. And then I think within the generations, you're also going to see a movement of people disconnecting. It's very hard to disconnect, though. I mean, it really is almost impossible at this point. And I think that may be what I'm trying to suggest too. Is there ways that we can break out of technology just for a little bit and go back to some of the simpler ways of communicating and creating community?
Well, it's a fascinating collection, Children of the New World, sci-fi, but very relatable, very grounded in where we are today. A collection of short stories by Alexander Weinstein. Such a pleasure to meet you, have you here, and loved your stories.
Oh, pleasure too. Thanks so much.
Alexander Weinstein will read from his book this Wednesday at 7 p.m. at Literati Bookstore in downtown Ann Arbor. For details, you can visit his website, alexanderweinsteinfiction.com.